From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome aboard. You are tuned in to Open Journal. It is Monday, April 5th, 2021. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for the gift of your time and support of Houston's community station, KPFT. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Rick Campbell. I'm in for Stephanie Coleman this evening. Welcome. In the first half of this program, we'll be visiting with Tom Richards of Houston Media Source. And in the second half, we'll be joined by Nell Wheeler and Dean Cook of Metal Rain Tanks. We always welcome your feedback, opinions, and suggestions via Twitter and Facebook. And you can find us at hashtag KPFTOJ. And we'd like to invite you to subscribe to our podcast at KPFTOJ, wherever podcasts can be found.
Wherever good pods are cast, you'll find KPFTOJ, of course. And we'll be joining our first guest, Tom Richards of Houston Media Source, in just a moment. A couple things we always like to catch up on, all things COVID-19, and have a little discussion on how well we're doing, getting better together, not stopping, not forgetting, taking our best shot, all those good catchphrases. I know I'm well past taking my best shot. And my good news of the week is that my son out in California, who's just in his early 30s, has just this past week received his first vaccine, which is a real blessing. So I encourage everyone to get on board that train, and don't give me any stories about I'm afraid of needles, because I would hope that you're more afraid of dying than you are afraid of a puny little needle, which is thinner than an acupuncture needle. It's not even wide enough for you to feel it as it slips between the cells of your epidermis. So no excuse for that. Right, Rick?
That is correct. Also, some good news nationwide, based on studies showing the real-world effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines. The CDC last week has said Americans who are fully vaccinated can resume travel throughout the United States with low risk to themselves. Mm-hmm. The CDC said vaccinated travelers no longer have to follow the recommendations to get a COVID-19 test before and after travel, unless required by the destination. And travelers will still need to wear a mask, take other precautions, and a person is considered fully vaccinated 2 weeks after receiving the last recommended dosage. Mm-hmm. However, a vaccinated traveler still must have a negative COVID test to board international flights to the U.S.
Yeah, and hopefully this fourth wave inevitably hitting us will hit us mildly, not too devastating. On a potentially sad note, but celebrating the life, the passing of a great life, several actually related to Houston specifically, Leon Hale. We really enjoyed his columns in the Houston Post. I was always a morning paper guy, so I was a Post guy. But I followed him to the Chronicle. You had to, because the Post was gone and the Chronicle ate it. But Leon Hale, an interesting point of view, and I enjoyed his stories. I always wanted to offer to ride with him around the loop on one of his birthday jaunts around the loop, just to test himself to see whether or not he should still be allowed to live in the city or have to go spend all of his time out in Wynedale, out on the porch. An interesting character. I've never did have the chance to meet him personally. How about you, Rick? You're a newspaperman.
Yeah, I've met Leon a few times. You know, it was kind of amazing. He was really getting close to turning 100 years old. And gosh, he was so many people out of his readers just really loved him and loved reading his columns and loved talking about him and going to his book signings. And he was really quite a popular guy. His writing, his style, the people he wrote about all touched a nerve with a lot of Houstonians, people in Southeast Texas.
Yeah, and I think Andrew Dansby did a great job in covering that for the Cron. So kudos to Andrew. And and a life well lived, Leon Hale. Pushing 100, like 2 months shy. That's almost infuriating to get that close and not be able to ring that bell. But, you know, he's ringing some other bell or playing a harp or something right now. So also, another literary note, you know, obliquely Houstonian, because when I first moved to the Heights decades ago, this guy had a bookstore on Studiewood up here and off of 8th Street, Larry McMurtry.
Oh, yeah.
His booked up store in Archer City, very famous. But his little shop here in the Heights was kind of cool, too.
Apparently, his shop in Archer City had gotten quite away from being a little shop. I understand at one point it encompassed four buildings up there with some rare and very valuable books. And he often worked in the bookshop. And amazingly to me, he was raised in Archer City. One of his most famous works was based in Archer City with a different name for the town. And then he died in Archer City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last picture
success
show.
Yes. All around him. Mm-hmm. But, he began and he ended in the same place.
Hey, well, we've got Tom Richards waiting in the wings. A couple of quick calendar tips for you. You might want to think about some of these things. Our good friends, you've heard them on this show in the past, Catastrophic Theater. Their home is over there at the MATCH, the Midtown Arts and Theater Center. But, you know, it's not the most wide open space right now. But they're out there with their drama squad ready to perform live theatrical performances in your front yard or your driveway anytime on the weekend up through the first week of May. And for a modest fee, the theater will dispatch a team of thespians and they will perform some original work, a little bit of puppetry, a little bit of music, a little intimate theater in your own yard. If you'd like more information on Catastrophic Theater, their website, catastrophictheatre.com. And if you can't spell it, ask someone to.
And through April 11th, about 100 area restaurants are participating in the 6th Houston Black Restaurant Week. The restaurants throughout Galveston, Houston area will offer prefix meal brunches, lunches, and dinner menus. And prices will vary depending on the restaurant. And for more information, you can go to all one word, blackrestaurantsweek.com.
Blackrestaurantweeks.com. And correct. You are tuned to Open Journal. This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT, FM 90.1, and digital channel HD1. This is Houston's community station. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Rick Campbell. The Houston Media Source provides education, equipment, and a content-neutral platform for people who want to produce their own television or radio programs. By giving Houstonians access to the mass media, HMS empowers them to address issues and tell stories that are not covered by traditional media outlets, highlighting the rich cultural tapestry of our city. Executive Director Tom Richards, who is no stranger to us around the KPFT airways, is with us to tell us about HMS, how they've been handling the pandemic, and what's ahead. Tom Richards, welcome to Open Journal.
Thank you, Rick. Good to be here. And it's been a while since I've been on the KPFT airwaves, you know, COVID and all. I've missed it.
Well, we've missed you as well, Tom. And so how about a quick catch-up for folks unfamiliar with Houston Media Source? Can you give a brief rundown of exactly what it is, what it does, and why?
Who are you guys, man? Well, Houston Media Source has been around in one form or another since 1987, which was shortly after cable television came to Houston. And what we are, we're a 501c3, which operates the city's public access television station, which is seen on all the cable franchise operators in Houston, including Xfinity, Channel 17, and AT&T UVerse, Channel 99. But what we do is we operate this television station, and all the content comes from members of the community. And gee, how do you do that, you might ask? Well, we provide equipment, cameras, mics, lights, and we provide the training to operate those pieces of gear. And so what we like to say is when folks walk in the door, all they need is an idea, and we can help with the rest. They just have to have a story to tell, a point of view, something to say, and we can help them with the technical side of things.
Because it's Houston Media Source and it's related to cable franchise fees that the folks who have cable pay to, then the city distributes through Houston Media Source. Do you have to be a resident of the city of Houston to avail yourself of this opportunity? Or can anyone who hears this signal?
Pretty much anyone who hears this, unless they're listening over the interwebs. But our services are available to Houstonians. If you live in Houston within the city limits, the fee is $225 a year to submit content and have it broadcast on the channel. If you're in one of the more outlying areas, as we say, one of the contiguous counties around Harris County, it's $275 a year.
Okay, so it's a slightly higher fee.
Yeah, it's like premium.
And normally we don't give prices over the airwaves of KPFT unless we're telling you how much for a T-shirt or a tote bag or maybe a bumper sticker. However, because this is a 501c3, legally it's an acceptable thing. And I think of Houston Media Source as a variation on the same theme as KPFT. There are volunteers producing programs. And then as KPFT has provided this platform to us, you through Houston Media Source are providing a television platform to anyone who becomes a producer and then qualifies to access all this rich gear that you guys have.
Yeah, you've had one more cup of coffee than I have. And that was, you said that much better than I did earlier on. Yes, that's exactly what it's all about. KPFT and Houston Media Source have a very similar mission, I think. You guys have this great 100,000-watt flamethrower signal to throw out the FM waves into the air and people can pick them up. We've got a cable delivery system, but in both cases, it's about, as you say, volunteers. People are not making money off of their work here. It's an enriching thing for them and for the community. And you want to talk about speaking truth to power? Well, you know, you can stand on an apple crate on the corner and holler out whatever you're thinking, but how about being on the broadcast airwaves and being able to deliver that message in a, for lack of a better term, a state-of-the-art manner, totally up to snuff and all that?
Well, I have kind of a follow-up question to that, Tom. Since the TV broadcasts are done via cable, is there any other way to access them for like people like me who's a cable cutter?
Yes. Well, as long as you have internet, there's a way to access. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll come stand on that apple crate and holler at your house. But you have to make an appointment for that. No, we stream 24/7 in HD at HMSTV.org, like Houston Media Source Television, HMSTV.org. And our website pops up and you click on the button that says watch now.
Very simple.
We've tried to keep up with the various platforms, of course, borrowing a line from Richard Dreyfuss in that movie Down and Out in Beverly Hills. It's cable TV that clothes you. It's cable TV that feeds you. It's cable TV that keeps a roof over your head. So that's where our allegiances, certainly. But we've tried to keep up with streaming, obviously, YouTube, all Vimeo, all the various platforms, and showing our community producers how to take what they put on the air on the television channel and then repurpose that or send it in other directions. Live stream is a big thing that lots of our producers are wanting to know about. And Alex Sines, one of our staff members, is real big on that. He can help them out there.
So, Tom, we've been here at KPFT over the past year plus now, having to program from in exile, random studios in random rooms throughout the Petro Metro. And we're hoping to get back into the KPFT Mighty 90 World Headquarters deep in the heart of Montrose sometime, maybe late spring, early summer, sometime, you know, in the next several months. But how has Houston Media Source weathered this pandemic year? And what's this past year been like for you over there?
Well, it's been a challenge. It's been weird, discouraging at times, encouraging at others. What we've tried to do, our philosophy has been to deliver as much of the service as we ordinarily would during the pandemic. Unfortunately, that in terms of being responsible and looking out for the safety of our staff and our community producers and anyone who comes into the building, we have not been booking studio time. We have not been booking time in editing suites where people are touching a lot of the same things. And all we've been doing is, well, I say all, we've been doing a lot of this, checking out the gear, but it's more of a drive-through approach, as many businesses have taken. You make a reservation. The gear will be waiting for you on a push cart. You pull up to the door. The cart is pushed out. You put the gear in your car. You sign your papers. Off you go. Same process for returns. And so we've still been able to get gear into people's hands, and they've been able to submit. Fortunately, in submitting their content, most do that electronically. They don't use the physical media anymore, though that's still an option. We do have a mailbox out front for people to drop their discs and tapes off if they want to. But most producers just send those materials via Dropbox, WeTransfer, something like that. So we are a little bit ahead of the curve there. But yeah, it's forced us to become, well, not me, but members of the staff, experts in Zoom technology and other teleconferencing sort of things, and figure out how not only to get information pulled in, but how to make a TV show out of it. And of course, we look to our like CNN, the national news programs, and how they've done it. And we've tried to do a similar thing there. You know, sometimes we have shows with up to eight people on the television show operating from a Zoom or a similar platform. So that's what we've done. And as you say, hopefully late spring, early summer, we can get people back in the HMS studios and we can get back into the cozy confines of KPFT, step into that studio and smell the funk.
You are tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio, KPFT here in Houston, Texas. We're visiting with Tom Richards, Executive Director of Houston Media Source. We thank you for joining us on this In Exile edition of Open Journal. Thank you for that. Thanks for supporting us. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Rick Cabell. Tom, I have a follow-up question about equipment. Say I'm a filmmaker and I have an idea, but all I have is the idea. What can you provide me with? I mean, say I'm technically proficient, I just don't have the equipment.
Yeah, that's, like I say, that's true of anyone who walks in the door. We'll get the gear you need in your hands. But I'm glad you mentioned filmmaking, because that's an area that we've been addressing over the past couple of years, even pre-pandemic. But while we've been in this weird state of operation, the staff's been devoting a lot of time to researching and acquiring filmmaking tools. So we have in-house cinema quality digital cameras, the same models in some cases that are used to make Hollywood features. And we've got all those fun toys like gimbals and jibs and dollies and the kinds of things you need to get more of what would be referred to as cinematic shots. We don't have a crane yet. We do have a drone that a small camera can be strapped to. So it's been interesting when Mark Pirtle walked into my office one day and said, "Tom, I need a butt dolly." It gave me pause. And then he explained to me what one is. And that is like the world's smoothest stool. It's got eight legs on it, and the cameraman puts his butt on the dolly and then can just move himself around, but it's so smooth you would think that the camera were mounted like on a Steadicam enclosure, some big heavy kind of thing like that. But yes, butt dollies, jibs, all that stuff, we've got them. Camera mounts, that's another one for cars, so if you want to get that look, just all kinds of stuff. And we are really encouraging Houston area filmmakers to come in and learn the skills. But also learn the process of collaboration, because filmmaking is a collaborative art, and you have to know how to work with other people, how to, as they say in baseball, play your position. So we have people come in and they can apply for different jobs making these short films. And when I say short films, I mean 5 to 15 minutes. They can submit scripts. They can say they want to be a director, cameraman, an editor, sound, grip, all sorts of jobs that can be done. And they can come back more than once. So what we're going to do is once we get enough content together, we'll do a public screening, possibly here at HMS, possibly at the Match Center on Main Street. We've done that before. And we show not only the films that have been produced, but also a lot of behind the scenes footage that our staff will shoot during the production, which is oftentimes equally as entertaining as the films themselves. But that's a direction that we decided to head in, because you think about it, when HMS TV went on the air, well, it was Access Houston back then, but when the channel went on the air in 1987, who could afford a video camera, those big Portapak things? And you couldn't just go to a store and buy one. So that was a pretty novel thing. Well, now everybody's got a pretty great digital camera in their cell phone, and films have been shot on iPhones, award-winning films. So what we're trying to do is provide the tools that the average person who wants to make a film might need, might want. Good God. They might need, they might want, but they can't afford, or for whatever reason can't get access to. So that's our job at this point, is to put the best tools we can in the hands of our local filmmakers, and with some supervision, turn them loose.
Mm-hmm. So the equipment that you guys allow we the people to qualify for borrowing, using, taking advantage of, that's all funded through the fees that are gathered out of the cable bills that we're all paying, those of us who haven't cut the cord like Rick. Is that essentially how it happens?
Right. That is the funding mechanism. The cable companies are required by state law to pay the municipalities that they operate in a certain percentage of their gross income. And that's in exchange for use of the public right of way for, you know, hanging the cable on the pole, essentially. Now, that is going to change moving forward. We appear to be moving into a new funding paradigm. And that's one in which we can use those monies that are paid by the cable companies, in this case to the city of Houston, and passed on to us. The cities, once they get this money, they may, not must, but may, as the law says, use some of those funds to support PEG channels, public access, educational, government channels. And they do that and have done that. But going forward, it appears that we're only going to be able to use that money for capital expenditure. So like buying cameras and all those film tools that we talked about, we will not significantly be able to use that money for operational funds. So we've had to now get into the fundraising business. And that's been quite something during these COVID times. The people having their voice, being able to exercise their First Amendment rights. This is all very important, but we've had people dying over the past year. And so it's really difficult to step up in some cases when you think maybe you'd be taking money away from someone, a charity, a group that could help people with basic life requirements, be that healthcare, housing, et cetera. Well, we all know about that. So now that we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, we're going to be raising funds in a big, bad way, and making people aware of the importance, as you guys do at KPFT, of the people having a voice that is not impacted by ratings or advertising considerations or that sort of thing. Like Rick mentioned, we're content neutral, and we're very proud of that. And what that means is, as long as the programming that is submitted for broadcast on HMS TV is legal, that is to say it's not obscene, it's not slanderous, et cetera, then it goes on the air. And we, as the people who run HMS TV, don't have anything to say about the content. As I tell people, we've had everyone from the new Black Panthers to Ted Cruz on this station. And I think that, I mean, there's a continuum when you think about it, right? but that is the charm, and that's the magic and the importance of having public access stations in general and HMS TV in particular.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to the TV studios, the channels, the equipment, and the facilities that you manage on behalf of the city, there's also opportunity for people in, even though you say it's HMS TV, there's also a radio division of the TV as well. Could you share a little bit about your cohort in that?
Now, if I must, yes, we have a legendary Houston media personality, Ronnie Renfro, operating our radio division, which you can listen to 24/7 streaming at hmsnetradio.org. And that's for people who, like us gentlemen, have faces for radio. I mean, we just need to accept that fact. But some people had come in over the years and said, well, I'm really more interested in radio than television. I don't want to fool with all that stuff. And so in order to accommodate them, the HMS radio station was set up a little over 10 years ago. And in a fashion similar to the television station, we have all the gear you would expect to see in a professional radio station. We have an editing room where you can do all sorts of audio editing and effects and things like that. And this equipment also is available for checkout, or you can use the studios and the computers at HMS.
Mm-hmm. So this would be ideal for someone in the burgeoning field of podcasting that's so rampant.
Oh, yes. And that's where we've been getting a lot of our radio producers. Again, whatever the producer, the community producer does here with these tools, whether it's a TV show or a radio show, they exercise complete ownership and copyright on that. So they can repurpose it any way they want. What we want is content. That's the deal. If there's a catch to this whole thing, it's that you have to use this equipment to make content that we can show on the television station or run on the radio station. But beyond that, it's up to the individual. You can take it and turn it into a podcast. You can put it on a website. You can do whatever you want with it. And such is the magic. And yeah, everyone wants a podcast now. It seems like everyone has a podcast now in many cases, but that's a great way to get into it because it doesn't require a great deal of technical expertise. You need to know how to operate microphones, adjust volume levels, and hit record, and maybe do a little editing, but that's it. So that's it's a great entree for people who have for years thought, you know, I'd really like to get on the radio, or I've got something to say, or people have told them, you should be on the radio. And actually, we took those people seriously years ago when they told us that we should be on the radio. But we've got new people coming in all the time, and it's really exciting. That's what I enjoy, is that we have some long-timers who've been doing shows for over 10 years. But people typically cycle out because it is a bit of work, you know, so they'll do their thing for a few years. They'll drop out. But as that's happening, new people move in as community producers. And I think that's a big part of the strength of HMS, is that we've always got this new infusion of ideas and producers, this new energy coming in the door.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we begin to wind up here, Tom, for people listening who are intrigued by this and wanting to get involved, maybe they haven't before. I know a number of KPFT affiliated community members have been producers, may still be producers at Media Source. But for those who have not done that before, because of the COVID times and all that, I know there's like an orientation training. There's some basic courses, in essence, that need to be taken before you're allowed to like handle a $35,000 video cam or something. So what is that like right now? And is that going to be an open door people can walk through in the not too distant future?
Sure. The easiest, well, the best way and easiest way to get started is to attend one of our orientations. And those are held Monday evenings at 6 o'clock on a regular basis, when we can in person here at the studios. But in the meantime, it's been, these have been conducted via Zoom, or, those are available at other times too. What people need to do is go to our website, hmstv.org, and click on the getting started button, and you can make an appointment with Roger Palomino, who is our outreach director, and he will get you booked for an orientation, answer any questions that you might have. And then, as you said, Wayne, it's a matter of people taking certification courses before they can check out whatever it might be, the camera, mic, lights. But once they take these certification courses, you can check out gear with no additional charge. So that's what really blows people's minds, that they can, as you say, maybe not walk out with a $35,000 camera, but some pretty serious professional gear. And it's a wonderful thing.
Indeed it is. Rick,
you have to take the anti-klutz class before you can check out the $35,000 camera, just so you don't drop it.
Yeah, you have to get through Mark Pirtle, too.
Well, that's too. A formidable, well, yes.
A great, great guy. We love Mark.
Mark's been here since the beginning in 1987 and is
maybe
still...
Maybe before the beginning, yeah.
Actually, he was. Yeah, he was. Actually, goes back to 86. You're right. He was hired before the channel actually went on the air and helped build it. And he's still absolutely one of the leaders of this operation. And he's kind of our conscience, our soul, and our corporate memory, as they say. That's that guy.
That's really cool. And, you know, full disclosure, I mean, we hosted with your cooperation and the staff there, KPFT's high school internship program for a number of years with our on assignment co-host, Stephanie, for quite a while. And also, we've recorded a couple of programs there that Mark assisted with. And in particular, one I recall with Gene Green before he retired as congressman.
Show.
And that was a wonderful collaborative activity that we could enter into with you and Ronnie and the crew there, and leverage some of that great equipment that you guys have access to that maybe we did not at the time and don't right now either.
And if I might mention, that's something that we're always interested in, working with other nonprofit groups in order to help bring whatever it might be to Houstonians, meetings about town that people can't might like to attend, but they can't. Public meetings, we do that. Also, street festivals, artistic performances, all that. So we're working with the nonprofits all the time and really love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate you and everybody there at MediaSource. Look forward to getting in the doors and seeing what's going on again soon. And we appreciate you and your time. Again, the best access for info, hmstv.org for folks?
That's correct. And actually, this would be a really good time as we're ramping back up to what we anticipate will be a full opening late spring or early summer. The classes are available via Zoom or in person with major social distancing and all the precautions. So what you can do is get started now. Get your certification classes under your belt, get it planned, what you'd like to do in terms of the air. And then once we open it back up, then you can start if you want, bring people into the studio, do interviews, edit here, whatever. So, yeah, this would be a real good time. We're just real, real close.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Tom Richards.
Appreciate you
having you on Open Journal in Exile. And that being said, it is time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley. You can always donate at kpft.org. Always put in the memo, Open Journal. We would really appreciate that.
And I'm Rick Campbell. Again, I'm subbing for Stephanie Coleman. Program archives are available at kpft.org. You can subscribe to our podcast at kpftoj. If there's anything you've missed, you can find it at either place. We're dedicated to all volunteer production staff, including Susan Phillips and Maverick. Open Journal theme music is by Kevin McLeod. And join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations. And thanks for your support.
And as always, we'd like to leave you with a thought to carry you through the week. It comes to us from George Washington Carver, who said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong. Because someday in your life, you will have been all of these." Take care of each other.